Welcome back to another episode of Life with Your Dog. My name is Panos, and today I'm going to be answering a question from Pamela and her dog, Luna. And, well, Pamela, actually, is a new listener. She's originally from Brazil. She's told us and messaged in and just extended her appreciation about how much it's been really helping her in regard, like the podcast has been helping her in regards to her Staffy, 1.5 years old. She's a little English Staffy. And just also expressing how things are so much different in Sydney, Australia, compared to how they are in Brazil. The expectations we have of dogs, how we live with dogs, completely different. It's a whole different culture. And the way that dogs have assimilated into our lives, which then means now we have different expectations. I also would think then we will have to adopt new practices, and Pamela's doing the right thing. She's doing the research. She happened to come across our podcast. She's enjoying it. So she started all the way from episode one, and she's got a question about her dog jumping. Luna jumping up on visitors when they come over, and she's written the message, and I'll read it out loud for you. Hi guys, you talked about have the dog on a leash for the bed command or go for a walk when the visitor comes over to strategize and minimize the jumping. Luna knows well the bed command, but I can affirm that she wouldn't hold it when I go to the door when the visitor comes in. She would break and run up and jump on them. Staffy's 1.5 years old. Could I tether her or not the best way if I manage? Thank you. So a couple of things here that I will discuss, and it was a while since we did that episode. Doesn't even have a number because every Q&A we thought we wouldn't number for whatever reason, but now that's not the case. So I can't give you a number of which episode it is, but if you just type in how to stop my dog jumping up on people, it was also a Q&A as well. So it's obviously a very common issue for people for their dog to be jumping up on their visitors. So there's a few different things that I will mention in this episode for something to consider. To answer the question, yes, you can tether your dog when people come over. And not that it's like, I wouldn't like say that it's a wrong thing to do, but I also wouldn't be my go-to, just because there'd be a couple of other things that I would like you to address first. Not that tethering can't come within the protocol as well, which I think tethering inside the house while things are happening and you're moving out of sight and doing all those sort of things can be good. One thing about tethering is that you don't tether your dog and then tell your dog down or tell your dog bed, because if you're trying to get your dog used to being tethered, you don't want to add an extra command on top of the activity of being tethered. Being tethered is one behavior that you want your dog to learn, one skill, and then adding an extra behavior on top of it. If she breaks a bed, you're coming to correct her or tell her to go back on the bed, and it has nothing to do with the tethering. So I think it can become a bit confusing and stressful for your dog. So if you're going to tether on its own. The dog can stand, lay down, stand on one foot, doesn't matter, as long as there's no barking or chewing the leash. And if your dog does start barking and chewing the leash, first of all, have a lead that your dog can't chew through. So some of those cable leads wrapped in plastic, got clips on either end. You can get them from Amazon and most pet stores. Usually they come very long, but I'm sure you can buy very short ones as well. So you can tether that where your dog can't chew through it. Also, you want to make sure that you start off with your dog tethered next to you on the couch. So you're on the couch, your dog's on the ground next to you, and there could be a bed in the vicinity of where your dog's tethered. I wouldn't tether with too much of a long leash so that your dog's running under different furniture and jumping up and hurting. Because if there's too much of a leash, the dog will run, especially on tiles and floorboards, and then they go to jump and then the lead pulls them back and they can hurt themselves, injure themselves. So you want to make sure that you've given enough leash where the dog can stand up and like do a circle and lay back down again. Making sure that you don't leave a dog tethered while fully unattended for anything longer than a few minutes, just because a dog can choke themselves, hurt themselves, get themselves wrapped up. Bad things can happen. So it's not like you can tether the dog and disappear for half an hour. Maybe eventually you can, but not in the initial stages. So the reason why you want to do this is so you're not tethering only when a visitor comes over. That could be a problem. People come over, dog gets all excited, over-aroused, and now you decided to tether the dog. That can be a little bit much. If you practice the tethering at the beginning and then you build up those 3 Ds, distance, duration, distraction, and we're going to talk about that as well for the place command, the bed command, you want to make sure that that you're incrementally increasing all those 3 Ds so your dog understands that you will be there for a certain amount of time and you don't have access to walk around while being tethered. That you may want to get 5, 10, 15 minutes out of that. you want distance. Can you go to different parts of the house, different rooms? Can you walk out the front and take the bins out and come back and your dog be cool with that? As well as the distraction piece, which is people coming over, dogs walking by, all the different distractions that your dog would encounter. We want to build those up so your dog can fulfill the requirements of being tethered while these different things are happening. And that's where you're going to be at. So every time a visitor comes over, it has to be treated more like a training session, because you need to get those repetitions in prior to having the right the expectation that your dog will be calm, especially when your dog's practiced these behaviors for some time. If your puppy was 8 weeks old and we started doing all these things and the proper protocols, then it would be a lot quicker, a lot easier if you look at it in the long term. So tethering is okay and you should do it, but just think that you're not actually fixing the problem of jumping if you only tether them. So it is a management thing, as you mentioned, so I agree with that. But there's three different types of ways we can deal with the jumping. And the number one thing that you want to work on is, can your dog be comfortable with being left outside? Put the dog outside, close the door. Luna hangs outside. There's no barking, squealing, carrying on, no banging on the door, no crazy destructive behavior. Be calm in the backyard. Do your own thing within reason. Can we do that first? I'm not saying that's going to fix it, because certainly it's not going to fix a problem. But if you only chuck your dog outside when your dog's over-aroused, over-excited, and acting out, then now you've chucked a high-energy dog outside and your dog's going to freak out every time they get chucked outside. Being outside in the normal part of the day should be just a thing that happens at home. Being left outside for a couple of hours here and there is really important, so that when your visitors come over and you can't be bothered, you're not in the position to train the dog not to jump, people are overly scared of the dog, heaps of different issues that may arise, or a tradie and has nothing to do with the dog, so you put the dog outside or inside the crate. So that's the number one level of management. Number two level of management, as you've mentioned, Pamela, you put the dog on the leash to make sure that your dog, you can block the behavior, you can stop your dog from actually jumping up onto people, or if your dog was to jump up on people, then you can issue a leash correction. You just simply tell the dog, you're not allowed to jump up. You jump up on people, you get a leash pop. And then we're going to get to the next situation where he's like, now go onto your bed. Or tell the dog to go onto their bed first. Have the leash. So if your dog breaks, you want that leash on in the house until your dog learns the rules of the house, especially when there's people coming over. So getting your dog used to that leash in the house, not just when people are coming over, for just every other part of the time. So you have backyard. Dog can't jump up on people. It's in the backyard or in the crate. You have your leash. You can block the behavior and you have to be holding the lead, or at least managing and supervising the dog and supervising and managing your friends as well. I'm not going to go into all the ins and outs of jumping. The advice hasn't really changed since we did that episode, so go back and listen to it if you have an issue with dogs jumping up. But here the question is, I want the dog to go onto the bed and I want Luna to stay there until we release her. I'm sure we've done a couple of episodes about the place command, the bed command, but I'll go through it in a nutshell here. It's one of the top three commands that I think all dogs should know. Inside the house, it's the only command that we use. I say bed, you go to the bed, you stay there until I tell you to come off. So you want to work on the three Ds: duration, distance, distraction. So you start off with duration. You want to start off with going, can my dog stay there for 1 minute? 1 minute while I then incorporate the distance, while taking 1, 2, or 3 meter step, distance away from the dog, a couple of steps in different directions around the dog, around the room that she's in. Your dog breaks position too early. It's either you've gone too far and you've pushed the envelope too much, or your dog's unclear that they have to stay there. Now remember, when you say bed to your dog, and how I teach it, I say bed, dog goes into the bed, the dog must stay there until we issue that release command. So if I was to give the marker yes, means I'm going to the dog room service and feeding the dog at the dog. I walk away, yes, walk back up, feed, say okay, dog comes off. Until your dog can stay on the bed and stay there until you can release, 10 out of 10. You say bed, dog stays there for a certain amount of duration. Okay, dog comes off the bed. Let's just say that's 1 minute. Then, and that can happen 10 out of 10. Now we can start saying the dog fully understands the requirement. Bed means you stay there until I release you. So that's why there's a leash on the dog. So if Luna was to get up out of that position before you release, you will simply say or no. You grab the leash and you apply leash pressure all the way up until your dog gets back onto the bed. The pressure turns off. You may need to give a leash correction depending on the situation. Hard for me to say, but it can happen to punish the dog for breaking position. But I wouldn't do that in the early days. It's all about using pressure and release and communicating through consistency. You can tether in this time as well, but make sure that it's clear between tether time doing the bed command and tether time not doing the bed command, so that there's clarity. And also, I think not doing it with a tether, because the more you help the dog at the beginning, the more you need to take things away later to get the end result. So just be mindful, if you help your dog too early in anything, then there's more things that you need to remove later. So once you can achieve that 1 minute while you walk different directions, and then you walk, then walk up to the door, opening the door, closing the door, ringing the doorbell, doing all of those things, this is when we're going to start desensitizing the dog to different sounds and stimulus, meaning that people are going to come over. If your doors are removable, like a remote, like a wireless doorbell, you can take it off. If you're in an apartment, it's a lot harder because you can't even press the doorbell unless you all the way go downstairs out to the lobby sort of thing. So you want to add these distractions. So now at this stage, your new goal would be 5 minutes on the bed, and you hold that bed command while I go to different parts of the room, while I open closed doors, ring doorbells, answer phones or intercoms, whatever the trigger is to the visitor coming. Now, of course, there's no way to artificially create visitors without visitors coming over. So you may want your neighbor to come around a couple of times a day as like repetition to start working on this. Don't ask too much too quick. If you feel like I'm not in the position, my dog's not ready, that's why you put the dog on the leash or go outside. Yes, of course, you can meet people at the front and go for the walk, kind of diffuse the excitement at the door, but that's always not really a feasible situation. So you want to try to make it as realistic as possible. Now, there's another thing about the jumping is your dog's on the leash. So we've got the bed command to say, if you go on your bed, you stay on the bed until I release you. And if you're on the bed, you can't jump on people. But what if you have a really good bed command? People come in, they sit down or they're standing around, you release the dog. So she's done the bed command and then she goes and jumps on people still. The bed command doesn't stop dogs from jumping. It's just like having the dog in the backyard or crate, or having the dog on the leash, or telling them to go on their bed. That's all still managing, even though there's different levels of training in amongst different levels of management. So the real training here, the real issue is that she's still jumping. So have that leash on and you need to deliver a leash correction in a way that she wants to avoid it. That's generally and the best way to deal with jumping. You can fluff around and throw treats on the ground and get people to ignore, turn their back, pat only when they're not. But the thing is, you need to tell the dog not to jump, and the correction has to be decent enough, like a leash pop, and the entire situation, like the event, has to be that it's so undesirable, we want to avoid it. You jump on my friend, I say, I give you a leash correction, I pop on the leash, the dog's like, hey, I don't like that. You would say, I know you don't like that, and I don't like you jumping either. And now I'm going to take the dog into the backyard, I'm going to take the leash off, close the door, and now she has to stay there for 15 minutes until I let her back in and we can try it again with the leash on. Repetition. So you want to teach your dog not to jump on people. That's the issue. Now, you don't want people to correct the dog. You correct your dog for jumping on them. Work on your bed command so you can have some level of control inside the house and she's in a different state of mind. But again, if you're only doing this with food in your hand and food in your pouch, and then are you going to be able to do it without the food? So there's many different levels. And of course, you know, we can help you depending on where you are, or a decent trainer can help you with going through these steps. And again, making it functional, a functional command, not just a party trick or a monkey drill. Go do that thing and stay there, because you want to use the bed as a lower the dog's arousal. There is no playing in the house. We don't do crazy stuff. We don't do lots of excessive training, throwing balls. We want a house to be a little bit more calmer at the beginning until your dog learns how to be. Then you can start opening things up and doing whatever you like in your house. But up until then, I want you to micromanage your dog. Don't give it too much freedom in the house. Be clear, be consistent, and go through some of these steps. I hope this answered your question. It's much better than the three sentences I texted you back on our Instagram DMs. But I thought it was a good question, something that most people struggle with. So I hope this helps out. Now, again, remember some of these theories or some of these techniques and some of the applications of them are more like equations. And if you can see these equations, you can plug them into other different situations like destructive behavior, chewing your house up while you're around the house, create more structure in the house, you know, work on the overall rules and boundaries, and make sure that you can get as many reps in as you can, which then means you may need to buy your neighbors a bottle of wine for them to come over once a day for literally 3 minutes, just so you can get the repetitions in. Maybe that's another idea. If you've got friends that live close by, or or family that do regularly visit, then kind of set it up for success. Make sure you know they're coming in, prepare yourself, don't make it too obvious, but make sure that you can set this up. Another thing as well, which is like unrealistic, you say have the leash on, but then a phone call comes in, I grab the leash, I put the leash on the dog, and now the visitor comes over. You know what's going to happen over the next 10 repetitions of that is that you're going to get a phone call, you go to grab the leash, and the dog's like, hey, people are coming over, eh? I can tell. This is the sequence of events that occur. So you want to make sure that while you're trying to fix a problem, you don't create a new one. And then every time you look at your phone, your dog gets excited because they think somebody's coming over. So be predictably unpredictable. Do the same things. Do them at different times. Have that leash on just because you're hanging out. Grab your phone, answer the phone, put the leash on, and then do nothing because no one's there. Just to desensitize, so you don't create a new conditioned response to something that you want to stop. And I hope that answers your question. And for everyone else listening, thanks for tuning in for this long. We really appreciate all of you. And if anyone else has a question, hit us up. And until next time, have a great day and train your dog. Bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of Life with Your Dog. Please share with your friends if you're enjoying our podcast and leave a review on Apple Podcasts to help others find the show. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook, Life with Your Dog Podcast. My name's Panos, and to keep up with my dog training adventures, tips and techniques, you can find me on Instagram at np_dog_training, my website npdogtraining.com, or my YouTube channel, Nutris Pooches.
Thanks for listening, guys. My name's Luke. If you'd like to find out more about my dog training services, you can find me at www.kizuna, that's K-I-Z-U-N-A, canine.com.au. I'm also on Instagram at kizuna canine training. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.